Well, good morning and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church and to Family and Friends Day. We are excited to have you here. This is going to be a great, great weekend, a great start to a new series. And of course, as we begin, we always want to get into God's Word. Inside your service program is some notes if you'd like to follow along as we begin today. You've chosen a great weekend to be in God's house. And this series is built upon a book written by Craig Rochelle. And so I just want to kind of give you an up. I always like to kind of share that up front so you'll know a lot of these, the material that came from that. But one thing I do want you to know is, for me, this message series is personal. I mean, it's very personal. And for you, it could be as well. But I just believe that when God works in our hearts, we should respond. Amen and amen. Today we begin this new series entitled Alter Ego. Now for those of you who are spelling enthusiast, you will notice the word alter ego seems to be misspelled. And as it is misspelled, it is misspelled on purpose, just so you'll know that, all right? And so we want to talk about this so we can kind of lay out the groundwork for this series. The word alter, if you go all the way back in the Old Testament, you find that the word altar is a place where people would lay down a sacrifice of great significance or something meaningful to God, or they would lay something down before the Lord. That's the emphasis of the word altar. And we think of the altar, we call oftentimes in front of a church, we will call this an altar. This is the steps, or people would call it an altar, kind of pictures, a place where we lay down things in our life before God. And then the idea of ego is an interesting word. We hear it a lot. But if you know what ego is, it is who we think we are or who we believe that we are. Some of us think too highly of ourselves, and still others think too lowly of ourselves. And what we want to do over these next 4 weeks is we want to take our ego and lay it down on the altar of God so that we will not live our life based on what we think we are or what others say we are, but that we will be who God wants us to be and who God knows we are. Today, I'm going to preach on the subject, my feelings of inadequacy. My feelings of inadequacy. Next week, we're going to look at the subject, giving up control. You know, sometimes control, there are people who like to control. We try to control people or circumstances, and we're going to look at that and how we give that up, because the bottom line is this: when we try to control things, many times it's not helping us, it is hurting us. So we're going to learn how to lay that down before God. The third week, we're going to look at the subject, my right to be offended. And sometimes people carry their feelings on their shoulders and use that as a way in which they can manipulate whatever they choose to manipulate. We're going to learn how to biblically deal with this subject of my right to be offended. And then the last week, we're going to lay down on the altar this longing for the approval of man. Sometimes we are very wrapped up in what other people say or what other people think, and ignore what God knows us to be. But you know, it's amazing to me how easy it is for me personally to have feelings of inadequacy. I mean, it might be something as simple as comparing. You know, you might find yourself driving up in the neighborhoods of maybe richer homes or fancy homes, and maybe you might drive along and you look at these successful people living in these nice homes, and you may ask the question, why do they have those nice homes, and why do they have the privilege to live here and so on and so forth. I think sometimes we get that. Or it might be, maybe like for me, maybe some well-known pastor, you know, and who leads thousands of people, you know, and he teaches stuff that I never even heard of. And people seem to come and they hear that and you kind of wonder, you know, where did he get all that stuff? I mean, I never even heard of it. He's talking about it and people are like amening it as if they really know everything he's saying when I never even heard of it. You might be someone in your career field where in your career field you are maybe trying to work very hard to establish yourself, and here's someone who's maybe younger than you, or maybe someone who doesn't work nearly as hard as you do, and they've landed this dream job. And you kind of wonder, how did that happen? I mean, why did they do that? And you feel sort of inadequate around them because they go out and get their fancy car, you go out and get in your car that's put together by duct tape, maybe a little ding in the side. And you get inside your car, you just feel inadequate, or maybe they wear nice clothes and your clothes has a spot or two here and there, and you would be embarrassed, and you just, you know, you feel inadequate. Or maybe you meet that super Christian, you know, the guy that tells us about, you know, he quotes verses to us we didn't even know was in the Bible. And when he prays, it's like when he prays, you're like, man, I wish I could pray like that. And he talks about things that are so deep, you don't even know if you'll ever get that deep in your Christian life. And so you start having those feelings of inadequacy. Sometimes I think our upbringing influences our feelings of inadequacy. I grew up where I was never complimented for what I did. And so it seems like I've spent my entire 30 plus years of my life trying to prove to myself different than what I was taught when I grew up. Yet so often, like rearing children, leading people, preaching messages, I have felt personally inadequate. I don't feel good enough or holy enough to be a pastor. But why do we feel this way? Maybe you felt that way in your world too. I mean, why do we have these feelings of inadequacy? Believe me, we are not the only ones that feel inadequate. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, and he shows us how God can give us victory over these feelings of inadequacy by laying down our ego and embracing who God says He is. But why do we feel that way? Why do we feel this stress, this anxiety, maybe this struggle inside of us that we feel inadequate? What is that? Well, let me suggest to you that there might be three reasons. Number one, we received unfair criticism. Perhaps somewhere in your past you have received some unfair criticism. Someone who says, well, you're not good enough. Or I don't like you. Or you just don't measure up. Or you don't have what it takes to make it happen. Sometimes coaches can tell players that. Sometimes, unfortunately, parents can tell children that. But deep down inside, these are like etched into our DNA. And they're burning. They're burning inside of us. And whenever we want to do something significant, whenever God calls us to do something significant, or whenever we're asked to step out and do something for God, it's strange, but it goes to an automatic replay of all of those things that have been etched into our DNA. Starts coming back up, you're not good enough. You're not adequate enough. You don't have what it takes. And when you're struggling inside, it's deep down inside, and you just deal with that. I mean, it's whenever you get ready to move ahead, those things replay in your mind. Because somewhere along the way, you've received some unfair criticisms. Steve Furtick wrote a book, I believe Steve Furtick wrote a book entitled Crashing the Chatterbox. That's the phenomena inside that brain of yours. That thing that chatters. That reminds you, you're not good enough. And it seems like we struggle with that. And then it might be that we find ourselves, we've received unrealistic compliments. You're the greatest. You're the best. I mean, you're so amazing. There's no one as good as you are. And so we find ourselves with that. It seems like today, everyone's told how good they are. I've noticed in recent years that everyone gets a trophy, not just some people get a trophy. Because somewhere along the way, you know, we felt like that by singling someone out or giving someone a trophy, that, you know, somewhere or another, that they are going to be hurt by one person getting the trophy. And then what happens is that when kids graduate from high school, they're afraid now to go out into the real world because they've never had to face failure or loss somewhere along the way. Sometimes we deal with that. There might be a third reason why we do have these feelings, is the feelings of comparing ourselves. Paul talks about how unwise it is that we compare ourselves among ourselves. That we like to compare ourselves, and it seems like that happens. We see others and think, I'm not like so-and-so, or I'm not as good as they are. I can't play that instrument as good as they can, or I can't handle that basketball as good as they can, or I can't think on my feet as good as they can. I can't sing as good as they can. I can't do this, and I can't do that. And what happens is we seem to find ourselves falling in the trap of comparison. A lot of literature has been recently written in regards to social media. Social media has been a big proponent of comparison. It seems as though in social media that what happens is that when we find ourselves in social media, we see our friends at the amusement parks seem like they have endless amounts of money. They're just having a great time. They're doing all these things. Or we see them receiving awards for maybe a job that they've done, well done. We see their pictures and we look at that and we say, man, I wish I could go to the amusement park, or maybe I wish I could get that award, or perhaps maybe we see them that they're vacationing in Hawaii when at best all we can do is vacation by staycation at our home. And we find ourselves kind of like, wow, where did that happen? So we find ourselves struggling with this, and we compare ourselves, and social media many times can play into that. And by the way, Christian, if God has blessed you, you don't need to brag about it on social media. That can be detrimental. I like what Steve Furtick said also. Here's what he said. He said, the reason we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reels. That's true. You know, I mean, all we're seeing is the highlight reels. What's really going on behind the scenes, we don't know, but we find ourselves struggling with that. And so comparison is real big today. And I think many times we struggle because we're comparing ourselves to others. I like what Theodore Roosevelt said. He said, comparison is the thief of joy. And it's true, we can be robbed of joy by trying to compare ourselves with someone else when, to be honest, all of us have much to be grateful for today. Amen and amen. So our ego then starts to tell us what we're not when God tells us what we are. That's what happens. Our ego is trying to say, well, you're not this, and you're not that, and you're not that person can do this, and you're not that person can do that, and you're not this, and you're not that. That's what our ego tells us, but God says, you are who I say you are.
we find
an interesting story in the Bible. Judges chapter 6, if you would please, in your Bibles. Judges chapter 6. And in Judges chapter 6, we're introduced to the man by the name of Gideon. Gideon is a man who had feelings of inadequacy in his life. We meet him in verse 11, and I want to read you the... We're going to kind of just dissect this story as we go through it. And notice what happens in verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. That's not Oprah. That's Ophrah. That pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now here's what we find. We find a farmer doing what farmers do. He was threshing wheat. That means that they had cut the wheat, brought it in. He was throwing it in the air. The wind would come. It would blow off the chaff. And the purest of the wheat would fall to the ground and would be ready to be used for meals and bread and other things. Now that's not the bad thing about what we read in the story. That's not the thing that we connect with. What we connect with is where he was. Did you notice that he was inside a house that had a wine press? Because guess why he was there? The Midianites were coming. He knew that Israel had not been right with God. And that in his mind, he thought that God is bringing the Midianites to come and judge us. And he's going to come, they're going to come, and they're going to kill all of us and take our food and take all our lands and take all our possessions. And so Gideon was hiding out away from all of that so that he could be safe. That's what he was doing. And look at verse number 12. The Bible said that, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I love this. This verse in the whole chapter just stands out so powerful to me, because what happens is, did you notice? He's called the mighty man of valor. But before he's called that, notice what the Bible said, "The Lord is with thee." Can we say that together? The Lord is with thee. Let's say it one more time. The Lord is with thee. And what that means is that we realize that even in our deepest of fears, even at the times that we feel the most inadequate to do anything, we're reminded of the fact that the Lord is with us. That God is there. That though you may feel inadequate, realize that God is with you. And so Gideon's now dealing with this in his heart. He's struggling with this, just like all of us do. You know, sometimes we struggle with the fact that when we're going to go out and tell someone about Jesus, we start getting butterflies in our stomach. We have fears, maybe about inviting someone to a day like today, or maybe to talk to someone about the Lord, or maybe to pray before others, and we're nervous about that, and we have all these fears because we feel inadequate. But God wants us to know that no matter how fearful we are, the Lord is with us. Isaiah chapter 41. I love this verse. Here's what it says. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Well, I tell you what, when you know, and have the confidence that God is with you, no matter how fearful things might be, no matter how inadequate, when you know that, what a difference it'll make in your life. We've all been there. We've all been standing there, maybe in the grocery store. Off to the left, here's a little kid crying, bawling crying. Somewhere along the way, he and his mother got separated in the grocery store. He's crying. And And you know, you can hear somewhere on the other side of the aisle, you can hear mom crying, oh, 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 you know, and they're both crying because the little kid is scared to death. He's now all alone. He doesn't know what to do. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever been there where you've lost a kid? Anyone ever been there? How about this? Have you ever been separated from your parent? And you can remember that when you were a kid. I remember one time I was. I thought, man, how am I going to get around now? I don't have a checkbook, you know? I know today everyone would think, I don't have a debit card, you know? But then when you see them, they reunite. Man, the joy. I mean, tears turns into tears of joy. Now all of a sudden the kid and the mom is reunited. Everything is just now changed. The whole fear factor has changed everything because now they have that reunion. They know that everything's going to be okay because mom is there. Let me tell you this. Everything's okay because God is with you. Whatever inadequacies that you and I are dealing with, God wants us to know that He is with us. Now in this story, I want us to learn and understand what God wants us to draw from in this story. And because there are three realities that all of us need to know about ourselves. Number one is God sees something in you that you do not see in yourself. I'm sure that if you were to ask Gideon, do you think you're able to lead the mighty army of Israel? I know that what Gideon would say, no way. Because let me put into perspective for you, 140,000 Midianites, 32,000 Israelites. That's the number. Would you agree with me? The odds are pretty slim they're going to have a victory. That's a scary thing. That's very scary. But the reality is that God saw something in Gideon that Gideon did not see in himself. In verse 13, here's what the Bible says. And Gideon said unto him, speaking of the angel of the Lord that came and was calling him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now Gideon was saying, wait a minute. God, you want me to go and lead the nation of Israel. You've forsaken us. Lord, you've kind of left us out to dry here. It looks like that you're going to punish us and the Midianites are going to be the instrument of punishment. But God tells him to go in the strength that God has given to him. You see, when God calls us, He empowers us. Whatever God's called you, whether it's to sing or whether it's to serve and help in this area, or maybe at work where you're leading something maybe you're fearful about, just to let you know, if God's called you to do that, then God will empower you to accomplish that purpose that God's called you. But guess what's going to happen? Let me warn you. You're going to have that chatterbox start talking to you again. Chatterbox will say, you can't do it. You can't do it. Why, you'll never be able to do that. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. It's going to be replaying in your mind. It's going to be working in your mind. But God says, hey, look, I've called you. I've got a purpose for you. And then in verse 15, here's what Gideon, he kind of relies back on his family. Look what he says. And he said to him, oh my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He says, look, you know, he says, if you want to look at, be honest, he says, you know, my family, we're not big people. We're not strong people. We're the least And I don't really have these great genes. I don't know that I can get it all done. But God told Gideon in verse 16 that you're going to strike down the Midianites as one man. That you're going to go in and you're going to strike him down, because here's the reason why. Because God is making you. And this morning I want to remind you that when you hear a message of insecurity from those inner voices, just remember that God is the one that has a much different view of you than you do of yourself. God has made you what he wants you to be. I notice what Paul writes. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Someone may have told you, you can't, or you won't, or you're unable to do that. Remember, my uncle told me years ago when I was a senior graduating, getting ready to graduate from school, he says, "You'll never make it in college. There's no way you're going to make it. You're not smart enough to make it in college." And he says, "And you'll never be a pastor. You'll never be a preacher. There's no way that you can ever do that. You won't do that." I said, "But God's calling me." He says, it doesn't matter what the call is. You're not going to do it. But I want to tell you something. God saw something more in me than I saw in myself and others. Something I learned over the years is this, that God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. If you're sitting here saying, "Well, I'm not equipped, I'm not able to do that," you don't need to worry about that, because if God calls us, he equips us when he calls us. You see, this morning, I just want to remind you of this. God sees something more in you than you see in yourself. God sees something in you that you can do this for God, and that God wants to give you and equip you so that you can do this if God's called you. You see, when others looked on David as a child, God saw David as a mighty warrior. When others looked on David as an adulterer when he committed sin with Bathsheba, God saw him as a man after God's own heart. When others looked on Joseph as a little boy, God saw Joseph as the mighty leader of the nation of Israel. When others looked at Moses and said that Moses couldn't be that speaker and couldn't do all those things, God saw him as the speaker and leader of the nation of Israel. When Peter messed up so many times and they thought of him as one who's so impetuous and so out of control, but God saw him as a rock. And his view, God's view of Peter, was so much different than what others saw in him. So what we need to know, number one, is that God sees something in you that you do not see in yourself. But second of all, I want you to notice that God has given you more than you think. God's given you more than you think. You know, something interesting here, that at this point in Gideon's life, God didn't tell Gideon, "Okay, Gideon, now I want you to do something, but I'm going to send you off to college. Or I'm going to send you down the desert and spend some time." And by the way, there's absolutely nothing wrong with going to college. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I think we should. The opportunity and preparation. Young people, encourage that. But in this case, Gideon was not sent to go to college, or was not sent to go to the desert for spending some time like Paul was in preparation. The preparation was over. It was just him and God, and he was to obey. He says, "Go of the strength that I've already given you." But sometimes our ego comes back to say, "Well, I don't like the odds. I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough." But look, God's given you more than you will ever know to accomplish his will for your life. The bottom line is, we need to stop listening to that negativity of our ego or what others say. Because the bottom line is, God has empowered you to fulfill his plan through you, regardless of what others say. I like what 2 Peter says, and Peter You know, and many question Peter. Here's what it says. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Sometimes our heart haunts us, but God reminds us, I've got something I want you to do. Don't your ego will tell you what you can't do. God tells you what you can do through his power. One more thought I want to give you in closing. It is less, quite frankly, it's less about you than you think. It's a whole lot less about us than we think. And what I mean by that is this. If you go back, look at verse 16 again in Judges. Notice what it says here. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You see, God sends and works through us. In other words, let's say it this way. It's God that does the work. It's not about us. God doesn't say, oh, well, you know, Rick Stone Street, I mean, you know, sometimes he his grammar's not maybe online the way it should be. Or, you know, he can't, you know, he doesn't have that charisma. Or he doesn't have that. No, God doesn't say that. God says, all I want is a surrendered heart. That's all I want. Oh, yeah, those chatterboxes are going to be chattery. You can't do it. You're unable. But God says, you don't understand, it's less about you. It's all about me. John the Baptist said it this way, he must increase, I must decrease. You see, when we're all wrapped up in what we can do, that's what happens when we hinder what God wants to do through us. And God says, it is less about you than you think. When God calls us to do something, he gives you the strength to do it. No doubt about it. That is why we lay down our ego at the altar. They have to lay it down and give it there and say, dear God, the altar, that place of sacrifice, that place of surrender, God, I want to surrender it to you. I want to lay it down because I know that's how it's going, how you're going to be able to use me. Can I be honest with you today? I feel inadequate as a pastor. Because I am. I'm not good enough. I get nervous when I have to preach or lead others in the ministry, and that's why I have to get along with God. And I have to ask God to give me, please, dear God, give me your strength. Dear God, give me your ability. Dear God, please work through me. Because the bottom line is this, everything that we do in ministry that I do, whether it is even in the ministry or whether it's something that will be out here, I serve God through grace. God will strengthen you. And you can lay down these feelings of inadequacy at the altar. You might say, I'm not as good as that person that I work next to, or that person I sit in the classroom with, or that person that you know, the hero of the school. I'm not as good as them. I can't parent as good as they can. I don't know the Bible as well as they do. I can't do all these things. But I want to remind you of this. You have everything that God wants you to have. God's equipped you to do what he's called you to do. Remember, you're God's masterpiece. You're the masterpiece that God made you. And as you lay down your inadequacies, and that's what I want to challenge you this morning with, if you're struggling with it, lay down some of those inadequacies at the altar with God and say, dear God, I just want to lay them down, whether it would be here or maybe in your private place, maybe you have a place at your house, but you decide you're going to lay down these feelings and stop listening to that inner voice of negativity and ask God to live, not according to what others say that I am or who I think I am, but I'm going to live according to who God knows me to be. Just a reminder, God wants us to know that his view of you is different than you think. God has given you more than you think, and it's less about you than you think. But if you come here today and you're not yet a Christian, I want to say thank you for coming today. You're welcome. We open our arms to you. And out in the lobby afterwards, we have some coffee and some snacks. We want to get to know you. Thank you for coming. But if we're all honest in our own hearts, we realize that we feel spiritually inadequate before a holy God. And we are. We are inadequate to stand before God because we can't do enough good things to get us there. And yet, what Jesus did was come and said, all right, I'm going to die for you and I'm going to give my life for you so that through my death and through my burial and through my resurrection, I can provide for you the adequacy to stand before a holy God because of what Jesus did. That means that I call upon him and ask him to be my Savior. If you're here today, God would be speaking to your heart about that. You can do that. You can call upon Jesus today. You can ask him to be your personal Savior, and he will take you right where you are. Maybe you're just starting to think about it. Inside, there's a service program. There's a card you can pull out and mark on there. Like to know more information about being a Christian. We'll be more than happy to get some information to you this week. Whatever we can do to help you take your next step in following Christ. Remember, God says we can give up these feelings of inadequacy when we believe and trust and ask God to work through us. Surrender it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today, in this first message, Lord, this, at least this is my bio. I can relate to Gideon very much. And Lord, there might be someone here this morning that feels the same way. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them with the fact that you are God and you can work through them. And you can give them the strength that they need.